Vic Porcelli.
Come on, you're Italian. You understand.
Every day is a busy day all of a sudden.
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Tough and smart. And I love Italian, so, you know, he's definitely Italian.
At least I have this show to come and talk about it and let some stuff up.
What kind of a show are you guys putting on here today?
The Vic Porcelli Show.
All right. Welcome to it, 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. By the way, the great Ken Williams is on vacation today. He's like such a jerk. Takes a whole week vacation. Who does he think he is?
Dear Diary, Ken took a whole week off. I didn't get to see him all week.
But anyway, we're ready for Karen, so go right ahead, Ishlyn. The one and only Karen Catalina.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word for mischt. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of six shots of scotch.
I gotta sit down. I feel like I can't stand. Is that okay, Tony? Did I sit?
And that was the last line for Big Pussy Bon Pincero in The Sopranos. Hi, Karen, how are you?
May he rest in peace.
I saved all the
I'm doing great.
I saved all the mafia stuff for you. I want you to know that.
Yeah, and I'm a little behind the times with The Sopranos. I did not watch The Sopranos. I'm sorry.
Why would that be?
I love The Godfather, but The Sopranos I've tried several times and just couldn't get
it.
Oh,
okay. So you did give it a shot. That's fair.
That's okay. But I got to tell you, my husband and I all finally watched the Sylvester Stallone one.
Tulsa King,
yeah, which we don't have to go into, but you know, we're up on the Tulsa King now.
Thumbs up, thumbs down. What do you think?
Thumbs up at the beginning, and then it got really squirrely. That's what I thought. The beginning was fine. It was very interesting. Loved Sly. You know, I had more respect for him after this. Because he wasn't, you know, somebody that I followed. I didn't watch a lot of Rambo movies growing up. But then it got a little weird. It's now been several months that we watched it. But I know that you lost another Soprano alum. And I heard you just as I was getting on the air, tuning in.
Yep.
And I heard you talk about it with me. So,
well,
you said something about you can't really do a mafia in heaven. Because that's probably not...
That's not where they go. They don't go to heaven. But the thing is, the actors do, but the characters don't, right?
That's right.
That makes more sense that way. So, yeah. Salvatore Bonpensiero, that was his real name. From almost the beginning of the whole series, he's wired. He's talking to the FBI because he got arrested for pushing heroin. And so... And then once they figure it out, of course, they have to kill him. Those are the last words he said on The Sopranos. Is it okay,
wow,
Tom, if I sit down?
Now, he's a character named Big Pussy.
Big Pussy,
right?
Yeah.
Now, I have a bone to pick with you.
Okay.
Because last time I used that second word, I was told I shouldn't use that.
Not by me. I tell you that. But I can tell you.
Well,
that.
Yeah, I was talking about the pink pussy hats after Trump got elected.
I think
elected
that's a little different.
I was told, we can't say that.
That's just a touch different than the character name.
It says vagina hats, I had to say.
But his name was not Big Vagina. You can't go, hey, Big Vagina, what are you doing? Come over here.
No, but there was a story like that in Godfather 1, but we won't go into it.
Too funny. Oh, my God, yeah. All right, so anyway, getting back to... Vincent Pastore. I guess we should have said his real name.
Okay.
Vincent Pastore, there are so many movies and so many things that you can go back and say, oh, that's Big Pussy right there.
Yeah.
And it's all of them, really. I mean, Tony Sirico plays mobsters in movies. So were you going to say something?
No. I'm listening.
Okay.
Listen, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up right now. I can see his picture.
He played a role in Goodfellas. He played a role in, all right, so this may surprise you. Do you know Michael Franzese?
I do.
He thinks that Gotti The 1996 HBO movie is the greatest mafia movie ever. That's his.
Really?
That's his estimation.
I think I watched it. Been a long time.
He knew Neil Della Croce, you know. Anthony Quinn played Neil Della Croce. And he said the way the dialogue and everything was accurate and everything, he thinks it's the best ever. And Vincent Pastore is in that as well. Now, here's one that may blow you away, Karen.
Okay.
There was a
lay it on me.
I'm ready to lay it on you. There was a commercial for Pepsi, and this cute little girl, matter of fact, it's Jesse Eisenberg's little sister, goes to the the counter.
I remember her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And she says, "Can I have a Pepsi, please?" And the guy thing, you know, the not bartender, the guy behind the counter there, asks little girl, "What's she know?" Gives her a Coke, and then she turns into the Godfather. I ask you for a Pepsi, and you give me this. And the guy behind the counter.
I remember that face.
Yeah.
I remember that face, Eisenberg.
And the guy behind the counter is very scared. And the guy behind the counter is Vincent Pastore.
Yeah. He's the quintessential mob figure. That one and the guy that was on Blue Bloods, who was also on Big Soprano, I mean, in The Sopranos, but I can't pull his name up right now.
Mikey Palmisi, the character. You didn't watch The Sopranos, you wouldn't know.
That's one of his big credits is The Sopranos, because there's a big connection between the makers of Blue Bloods, which I loved and hung on every episode, and The Sopranos.
There was a guy I knew. I used to deliver groceries to him, and he lived alone, and he was a Marine, and if I wasn't busy, he was so much fun. I used to sit there on his couch for hours and watch Gunsmoke and Maverick and Blue Bloods and all that stuff. And Sam,
I loved it.
Sam died now, so I got nobody to watch that stuff with him. So that's he was an older guy. He was 83.
Bonanza. I loved Bonanza when I was very little. I loved it. I loved the horses. I loved all the hot men. I was little.
All the Adam, hot men. Oh, Adam. Yeah. I gotcha.
Oh, my goodness. He was so pretty. He was so pretty.
Oh, my God.
Most of them were Jews, but we won't even talk about it.
It's okay. We love that. Who doesn't love a Jewish cowboy, for God's sake?
I know. You know, there's two things that will always get a laugh. A Jewish cowboy and a tap-dancing nun.
Right.
Always.
Tap-dancing nun always gets a great response. Like it should have been on Ed Sullivan, right? Tonight on our show, a really big show, we have the dancing nuns from Chicago. Give them a hand.
Well, and I did several times nonsense.
Did you really?
I did. Oh, you know, I got cast as a nun a lot.
I'll be damned.
You know, there I am walking around with my little, you know, rosary with the cross on it. I said, I'm doing it for theater.
Don't get on me. I'm doing this for theater.
Steve Sharipa. Mm-hmm.
Steve Sharipa, yeah. He was Bobby Bacala.
Constantly.
Yeah.
What was his name?
The character's name was Bobby Bacala. Well, yeah, Bacalieri was his name, but they called him Bobby Bacala.
Just look at him, and he looks like a mobster, but he played a cop, on an investigative cop on Blue Bloods, and he was great.
Now I got to give you a Steve Sharipa story. Is that okay?
Oh, please. I want to hear it. I loved him. I thought he was great.
When I was back at the music station that I was on, we did a promotion with a girl who worked for HBO that lived here. Her name was Jennifer Mancuso. Great, great girl. She hooked up Dinner with the Sopranos. And you could win on my show a seat at the table with the Sopranos. Steve Sharipa, who was Bobby Bacala. Oh my God. Federico Castelluccio. He was... his name, Furio Junta.
What a great name. I love all those syllables.
Me too. Oh, my God. And he was great. He was so friendly and so great to me.
Yeah.
And John Ventimiglia, who was Artie Bucco. So the day comes, and I'm going to interview Steve Sharipa on the air the day of the night of the event. So I said, hey, everybody, Steve Sharipa. Steve, welcome to the show. He goes, whoa. What do you think this is? If you want to interview me, you got to pass the Godfather test. I said, bring it on, baby. Bring it on.
There's no question you would have trouble with.
So he said, when Johnny Ola goes to visit Michael Corleone and he offers him a drink, what does Johnny say? Do you know the answer?
Anisette.
Anisette is exactly right. So you could interview Steve Shripp if you want, because you knew that answer. That's great.
Oh, right? Yeah. I would be a little bit, sheepish, because I thought he was great. I loved that he wasn't the typical, pretty boy, and he was one of the most stable, reliable, loyal characters on Blue Bloods. I loved Blue Bloods. I thought it was a terrific series.
I guess I got to go back and watch that. Tom Selleck in that? Tom Selleck?
Yeah, Tom Selleck.
No, right. Oh. There's a high one, right? Well, calm down. She's getting all hot and bothered.
I never watched Magnum, but after watching Blue Bloods, I went back and started watching Magnum, and I went, now I understand what you're all talking about.
Got it.
He was hot.
So, all right, enough, will you?
Yeah, okay.
So,
what now?
I want another Sopranos character, if I may.
Sure.
Federico Castelluccio is the actor's name, and he played Furio Giunta. And he came to, and he did an interview with me the day after the event. And I had met him that night and everything, and, I'm doing my show. And, hey, I'm Vic Porcelli. How you doing? Let's talk to Federico Castelluccio. And it took to about halfway through the interview when it hit him. He goes, wait. Vic Porcelli? I said, yeah. He goes, dude, I used to listen to you every morning when you were on DHA in New Jersey. So how about that? He lived in Denville, New Jersey, and he used to listen to me, of all people.
Not only that, you're paisan.
I think he is, too. I think he is from Naples. So,
yeah.
All right.
It's great. Yeah, we just love those guys. I mean, I don't know what it is. I told you this. I don't usually like really, really bloody, gory, violent movies. But if it's a mob movie,
it's okay.
I'll watch it.
Right?
I'll watch it. I don't care.
If the dog dies in the movie, I can't do it. Mafia guy gets his head blown off. I'm all about it.
You know what my husband always says, because he loves John Wick, which is where the dog dies in the movie.
Oh, no.
He says John Wick is a love story.
Oh.
People don't understand. I said, yeah, and we good-naturedly argue with each other. Yeah, it's a love story. Even though it probably is a record for the most people having their heads blown off, even more than the average mob movie.
Wow.
But
I'm in.
That's beside the
point. I'm in.
You mean you've never seen the John Wick movies?
No.
I'm going to lay odds that Jessica won't like it.
Definitely.
Most women don't, and men love it.
Yeah. I'm reduced to watching all the bloody mafia stuff on my laptop with headphones.
Oh.
So she can watch TV. Wow. And the reason why was she fell asleep one night on the couch, and I was watching some shoot 'em ups movie, and a bomb went off, and she was like, what the hell's going on? What was that? I said, it's a movie. Put your headphones on. I don't want to hear it. So.
Oh, I don't like it either. I know the names of all the movies that I want to avoid.
Because of violence?
Well, yeah, because there's no, it's a taste. It's not that I would ever censor it from other people, but I don't like it, especially before I go to sleep.
Yeah. That's why it's not that I have horrific dreams.
Like,
I have horrific dreams.
Yeah, exactly.
God. So bad.
I know.
All right. So I'm going to give you the option here. It's like pick a card, any card. Okay?
Okay.
Do you want to talk about Dr. Fauci, or do you want to talk about the guy who shot up the In-N-Out burger in Idaho?
Oh, I'm not up on it because, on the last one. I mean, because I saw so much on it that... I actually do limit more of my news intake than I used to, and I've told you that, which is funny since I still do talk radio. But either you get, it's okay. You mean you don't want to talk about Billy Joel?
Oh, I forgot about that. Sure. Now, did you just watch the bio?
No, it's not the bio, the Billy Joel story. Unfortunately, this was a Substack. So it's a woman who posted a wonderful story, but it didn't have a link to it other than you can click on it. So for everybody else, this is a Twitter post that I just put, and it's about the real story of Billy Joel's father. And are you aware? I mean, you were
very much.
You probably know so much about his father who left when he was young. And he went to see him in Vienna, where he moved to. And that's what the song Vienna is all about.
Right. Anna, his favorite song, by the way.
I didn't know that. I have to go back and listen to it. I used to love, I still love Billy Joel.
I do too.
How can you not love Billy Joel?
No, stop yelling at me. I love Billy Joel.
No, I'm not yelling. I'm just, no, but this story is amazing. But then I posted it. And I posted it because the story reiterates a major hoax because it's become so ingrained in people, they don't know it's a lie, and it's the lie of Charlottesville and how the Southern Poverty Law Center created that hoax in order to smear Donald Trump. And I felt the need to have to try in my own humble way to set the record straight. But the story is great, and I was moved to it. I guess there's not much more to say about that. But we're almost done, right?
No, we still have 3 minutes. But I watched the bio that was on HBO or whatever it was recently. Yes. And he told this exact same story about his father and all that.
Oh, he did.
And he did a show with the Jewish star on the lapel of
his jacket.
Yeah. And then
a yellow star sewn into his jacket.
Right.
In the front and the back.
And he said, first and foremost, I'm a Jew. You know, and I was like, oh, that's cool. I got to talk to Karen about that. And then, but then he's talking about Trump. He goes, and he said there were good people on both sides. Well, what's the matter with him?
Yeah.
Billy, what's the matter with you? Why don't you get the facts before you jump on the I hate Trump train, you know?
Well, yes. And the thing was, he did it in response pretty much at the time of the hoax. And the minute I heard it, I was immediately suspicious. And nobody else was. Even conservatives were not. And the reason was when they said unite the right. Whenever you hear a term as a conservative you have never heard before, like alt-right or unite the right,
Patriot
and
Guard.
It's so lefty when you hear unite the right, that's not what conservatives
You're
and
right.
So it was done with a lefty spin. I've always been suspicious. And only now, how many years later? 8, 10 Do we find out that my hunch was correct? Not that I'm tooting my own horn.
I'll toot it for you. Don't worry.
Was that it was, in fact, a lefty fraud hoax in which they were paying the people they claim to hate to smear Donald Trump. And so today, even today, I run into liberal Jews all the time who point to the Charlottesville incident, the Jews will not replace us. All of that was a hoax. All of it was paid. They were in bed with the very Nazis, we all know this, that they claim to be so much against. Try to explain that to someone who's been believing that all along, similar to COVID, similar to people who are so dug in about the COVID narrative. It is impossible for them to say, I was wrong.
Yeah. All right. So listen. I think it was Thursday when we had you on, and we asked you if you could stay an extra break. Do you remember that?
Uh-huh.
And I said to my boss, how was I? Oh, that was great. She's great. So you want to do that again? You got time to do it again?
Thanks for the notice. No, I'm fine, actually.
Perfect.
I could do it.
Let's take a break. More with our favorite Jew, Karen Cataline. Favorite Michael Jackson song. And now I have a new favorite song, and it happens to be by Boy George. And it's called We Will Dance Again. Do you like this song, Karen Cataline?
Yes, sir, I do. It sounds great.
I think we debuted that for you on Thursday, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you thought it was some kind of joke or something.
Yes, I did, because I didn't know.
Yeah, and I think I hate being selfish like this, but I love that we turned you onto it and you didn't know.
You are not being selfish.
Did you have a good Shabbat Shalom? I don't know.
Yes.
In fact, I
did.
What does that mean?
Shabbat Shalom?
Yeah.
Well, Shabbat Shalom is wishing you a good Shabbos. I grew up hearing good Shabbos, but now they say Shabbat Shalom. I won't go into the difference.
Okay, I don't think you've helped me at all. You're using other words. I don't know what they mean.
What is it that you're asking?
What does Shabbat Shalom mean? What do those two words mean?
It means good Shabbos. Have a good Sabbath.
See, now good what? I don't know what that word means. Oh, Saturday.
Sabbath.
Got it.
Yeah, yeah. It starts Friday night at sundown and ends an hour after dark on Saturday night. So for 25 hours, Jews celebrate Sabbath every week. Some ultra-Orthodox or whatever. They are much more rigid in their observance, but it's a day of rest. Well, and by the way, yes. I don't mean to sound a little snarky here, but you guys are the ones that changed it. We didn't.
What do you mean?
The day of rest was always Saturday.
Oh, we do it on Sunday?
It was changed after Constantine, and they actually, and this is among the many, many parts of our very, very difficult history, people were actually persecuted for not working on Saturday because that would indicate the person was a Jew.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
And so, yeah, we never changed it. It got changed.
That's why Sandy
Koufax was stubborn. So.
Didn't pitch on Saturdays, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So you've heard of also the Shabbos Goy years ago when Jews didn't turn lights on. Because it's working, it's creating a fire, and they paid a Shabbos Goy to come and turn on the lights or turn off the lights before they go to bed, because they didn't have timers like people have today.
So what is it? Say it again.
Shabbat Shalom?
No, the guy who comes and turns off the lights.
A Shabbos Goy.
Shabbos Goy. Not a goyim, but a goy.
No, a goy, and sometimes goyim is said pejoratively, but a Shabbos goy is said with gratitude.
Got it.
Now, and there are Jews who keep Shabbos to that extent. Uh-huh. They're more Orthodox. Most Jews are not as observant as all that, but, you know, we've been around a long time, so we have a lot of layers.
So what would I be? what would I be to you?
You're a righteous Gentile. That's what you are.
Righteous Gentile. Woohoo. Oh,
hell yeah, you are.
I'll take it.
I mean, the only difference between you and the righteous Gentiles, the Hall of Righteous Gentiles in Yad Vashem in Israel, which is the Holocaust Museum in Israel, is that you didn't personally save Jews in the Holocaust.
No.
And only Gentiles are remembered there, like Schindler and others. Mm. But because you have such a heart for the Jewish people, it makes me all choked up.
Well, I think part of it is...
Yeah? What is that about?
Here's what I think. My father was involved... It really makes me mad now that I think back on it. My father did not talk to me about a lot of war stuff for some reason. But I'll be damned. We talked to my cousin Paul all about playing cat and mouse games with his tank and the German tanks. He didn't tell me that. So he was involved somehow in a liberation of a camp. And I think knowing that, right, stitching it all together, knowing that, watching videos of World War II and then movies of World War II, how else can you think?
Well, unfortunately, there are people who are not only forgetting, but there are people who are actively involved in rewriting history, denying history, calling perfectly decent human beings Nazis and Hitler while supporting Nazis and Hitler in their own party. You couldn't imagine who I'm talking about. But let me go back to the fact that when you said that to me, I thought, gosh, you got something very profound in common with Billy Joel, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So anyway.
Because Billy Joel's father wouldn't talk about it either.
Yeah.
He just left his family and went back to Europe, of all places. I would think, why don't you want to just go to the New World where there's more religious freedom? And no, he didn't.
He stayed.
He stayed?
Yeah. My father didn't want to talk to me about it. I don't know if he just thought I was stupid or what. But
no, if I may be so bold, it's very similar, or may make a possible reason is what people witnessed in the war was so traumatic and so profound. They couldn't even begin to describe it. It's similar to vets, all vets who come home from war and they don't want to talk about it. Yeah. So I respect that. I understand it from a mental health standpoint. It's difficult on the kids because the kids want to know.
Yeah. Anyway, so let's talk about a couple minutes to talk about Dr. Fauci for just a bit, okay?
Okay.
You don't sound thrilled about that. Is there something else you'd like to talk about?
No, I'm locked and loaded, baby.
Got it. Okay.
I mean, it's kind of like, oh, let me at him.
We've been knocking them pretty good on this show.
Good.
And we've been having some fun, too, because the diary. What else can you think, right, when he's got a diary? So he was part of his testimony was, the problem is, this was on a news show, ideological rigidness, you know. And I saw you Friday, I said, dear diary, today. Hold on. Dear diary. Today I heard the phrase ideological rigidity. At first I thought it was a boner, but that's not right. More tomorrow.
That's a great joke for Gutfeld. You can send it in. They are very raunchy there. I love it.
Yeah. I try not to be
town.
Raunchy. Yeah. But once in a while when you got an ass face like Fauci, you got to say stuff like that.
There's so many things I could say. I could just say you cannot mock and humiliate this human being. I'm ashamed to call him human. Too much.
Yeah.
You just can't.
I agree. I completely agree.
And anybody who tells us forget about it. I'm never forgetting about it. Never. It is the one of maybe supreme greatest injustices and hoaxes in the United States of America. And look, it was worldwide. It was a worldwide. We don't have to get into the particulars of this and that. It was a deliberately perpetrated lie. Go.
That's okay. Yeah. Don't you want an apology for being called a science denier?
Well, of course I do. I want an apology for being ridiculed. I want an apology. I'll have to tell you this another time. I got kicked off an American Airlines plane. Wasn't for not wearing a mask. It was my attitude they didn't like.
Wow.
And I felt like I was living. Now I knew what it was like to live in a communist country. There was a very, very dictatorial kind of dictator wannabe. Could there be people like this who found an opportunity for the first time in their life to get back at all the nasty complaining people who fly airlines? And all of a sudden, he was so proud of himself and everything else. And I just cried. I basically got kicked off for crying because I was what I was crying about was what has happened to my country. I wasn't crying for me. I was crying, how could this happen and be happening in the United States of America? I was devastated.
I represent science.
This was insane. And it also, speaking of going back to, which we always say, whoever mentions the Holocaust in an argument loses. I used to grow up wondering, how could that happen?
Yeah.
How could that happen?
I say it all the time.
It happens with propaganda. It happens with gullible people that learn to be coerced and to take what they are given and never ask questions. And that's one of the, I don't know the time zone here.
So you got a minute.
That's what frustrates me about the still dug in Democrats, particularly Jewish Democrats. And they run across the board because, our tradition is always to question, to argue ideas. And yet Jewish liberals refuse to argue liberalism, but they'll argue Judaism, and that's okay. It feels safe. But oh no, you can't argue the religion of leftism. Thank God there are more and more Jewish conservatives. But honestly, it's, as I've said, it's the cross we have to bear.
Yes, it is. And we'll have to do it. Slave over a hot microphone for you people every day.
Did I do okay? The Vic sidekick this time?
What are you, a Jew? Of course you did. Oh, wait, you are a Jew.
I like it. Yeah. I really enjoy that role. Because we just talk about anything anywhere.
Well, then.
Now, I don't want to usurp.
No, I don't think you'd be usurping. No, yeah.
Oh my God, no! I could never.
later this week, we may call on you. Because
you're kidding. Oh, you got the whole week.
Yeah, Ken's gone all week. A lot of nerve, right? Taking a week off. Who the hell does he think he is?
Yeah, good for him. Yeah. He's so wonderful.
Oh, he's the best. He is the show. That's what he doesn't realize. Yeah. He doesn't realize he is the show.
Vic, I only realized how doggone much work it takes to do 3 hours of radio the way you guys do it when I did it a few times. And I went, ay vey, this is too much. I'm exhausted. Plus, I'm working on a different project that has nothing to do with politics, so I don't like getting deep, deep in it. But, I mean, doing a segment, boy.
Hey, why not? Segment.
It's all right.
I'm always accurate right. about my segments.
A piece for you, a piece for you, smaller piece.
Smaller piece. I want you all to enjoy your cake, so.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. I'm trying enjoy. To get cadence or whatever it is. I'm working on it.
Enjoy.
All right, I may call you tomorrow or next day or whatever, okay?
Okay, well, let me know in advance because I do have stuff going on this week.
What? With that? This is my show.
I know. If I can, I will.
All right.
If I can't. Oh, well.
Right. I'll take it. I'll cry, okay. But I'll take it. The one and only Karen Catalina.
Did you know that I'm married to a trucker? I feel like using a Yiddish word, famished. Toiling in front of my computer, I am. They're just too dumb to lie. He has the effect of 6 shots of scotch.
Good morning, Karen Catalina.
Good morning, Vic and Ken. It's so good to talk to you both, as always.
Hi, Karen.
We love you. We love having you.
I love you, too.
So, I yesterday I said to Ken, you heard me say it, I said to Ken, are they stupid? Did they think we're just going to let them shoot at boats? And, oh, okay, yeah. Let's put a target on it. And now we're getting them back, and I think that's the right thing to do, don't you?
Oh, God, yes. I'm sorry.
Time to end this thing.
It's been like a soap opera.
Yep, sure
you
has.
Know? They say, let them, in soap operas, they used to say when writers would say, let them, make them laugh, make them cry, make them wait. And this is making us wait. And I was sitting here writing about this, and I was hoping you'd ask. There is no chance in all of hell that our president didn't know that he's dealing with an entity, a regime that cannot be trusted, that has never been able to be trusted. And the only thing you can trust about them is that they can't be trusted. So I conclude that just like a lot of things today, the byword is timing. It's all about the timing. We had to wait until we celebrated our 250th and they had their funeral, just like the Graham Plattner thing, using only as a comparison. If you look at when, you'll know why often.
And Karen, that's a great way to put it, timing, because I've been frustrated. You can ask Vic. I've been frustrated about this whole situation, saying, you know, there's no way that the Islamic regime is going to go for any kind of a deal. He's just not going to. They're not going
to. Of course
not. It's baked in. So I started reading a little bit about what President Trump is doing. This guy, he's playing the game. They're playing the wait out. He's playing the okay. We're gonna keep doing this over and over, and we're just gonna kill a little bit more of your people, your Islam regime, and then eventually someone in that regime is going to say, "Look, we're done. I need to turn here." And he's just playing the time game. I think I really do now.
Well, I think he is honest when, because all's fair in love and war. There's been a lot of propaganda back and forth, which has been frustrating, unless you look under the hood. But I think Trump proceeds from the clear knowledge that we are in control. We are calling the shots. We're not depending on what they do because they're so predictable.
Right.
They're predictable in that they have said they want to kill Americans and Jews and Israelis and all non-Muslims. That's what they've said. They've said what they want to do. All you got to do is believe them. And then the question is, what's the strategy? And we've all been dying to know what the true strategy is. But he cannot leave this for the next president. Whether it's Republican or Democrat, he cannot leave it. He's got to take care of business. Well, I just hope this is finally it already.
He mentioned ceasefire is over, you know. Iran hit boats in the Strait of Hormuz. That was bad because they're going to get retaliated against. And here's the president talking about the basic strategy of what's going on now. Here's President Trump.
They hit us, so we hit them back.
Wait, that's Sonny Corleone. That's not...
They hit us, so We'll eat them back.
Yeah, yeah, that's not President Trump at all. Ken, what are you doing, Ken? That's Tino Corleone there.
It's Sonny.
We hit him. He hit us, so we hit him back.
We want you to control that famous temper of yours, Sonny.
I'll wait.
I'll wait.
So here's really President Trump, number five, Ken, talking about... Is this the same thing, though? He's basically saying the same thing.
We just hit him very hard, and I say we hit him 20 to 1. Every time they hit us, we're going to hit him 20. And we did it last night. They did a little something today, but it was really retribution for last night. They hit actually three boats, not two. And when they hit, we hit back much harder.
Ah, there it was.
They hit us, so we hit them back.
Right? That's exactly what's going on.
Yeah. Absolutely, but I'm looking at the much bigger picture. You know, this is a president who's been a little frustrating to me lately, but this is a president who understands the big picture. It's not about the next attack. It's where are you going and where do you want to get to? Now, we hope and pray that where he's going to get to is to get rid of this evil, homicidal, insane regime and free the Iranian people. That's what we want. And free the Middle East from them. How he's going to get there is going to be still interesting. But I don't think he's doing any of this without that idea and plan and goal and mission. But he can't tell these people. He's got too many traitors in our own government.
Yep. Boy, that's so true. And if he lets one thing out, the wrong people are going to say something, but enough about that. All right.
Yeah.
So who would have thought, Karen?
What?
And Ken. Who would have thought that the guy with the Nazi tattoo on his chest was a bad guy? Whoever would have thought that?
Yeah, yeah. Accuse somebody with no evidence and no tattoo on his chest of being a Nazi and a Hitler, but somebody with an actual Nazi tattoo on his chest, you know. He had some trauma in his earlier life. It's so preposterously stupid.
And they've known it for years, actually. And we find out that tattoo, that's not even the bad stuff.
Right. That's not even the least of his worries.
Yeah. You'd think maybe they would be a bad judge of character and know that where there's smoke, there's fire. You'd think that maybe they believed even an iota of what they actually said and lectured us. Who was it who was talking about how they're always lecturing us? Whoever was on Fox News, I loved it. They're always lecturing us. Believe women.
Yeah.
Women. The first woman president, but we don't know what one is. Believe women unless they're accusing somebody. The worst is that horrible, disgraceful woman on The View, which I only see in sound bites, that she would have been willing to vote for him because Trump is that evil. So I'm willing to vote for an evil Nazi accused rapist because I've been brainwashed that this guy is worse than all those things. I got no evidence, mind you.
I just, you know, it's like you said, if it's against Donald Trump, they'll do it, you know, no matter who the guy is.
And that just shows you they're wild-eyed crazy.
And it shows you how stuck they are. Right? They're stuck now. They've been calling Trump a Nazi for 10 years, and now an actual Nazi shows up. Oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for that guy. I can't imagine any Jew voting for Graham Plattner.
And sadly, it's so infuriating and sad and tragic that there are more than a few. I mean, not the least of which is the self-hating Jew, Bernie Sanders, whose stock, thank God, has gone down. But they also make the rest of us look terribly bad to conservatives who want, well, a certain segment of Jew haters on the right who want to point to all these leftists and say, see, Jews are all communists. They are not. We just have a lot of misguided people.
Yeah, right.
Who need to read the Torah instead of reading Rules for Radicals, and maybe they'd understand that our Torah stands for justice.
You should
and
read
not any sorry. Of that stuff.
You should read Rules for Radicals and then a Communist Manifesto, not because you believe in it, but holy God, really? These people really thought like this? You know, that's the way you should look at it when you read either one of those two. All right, I want to move on.
It's true.
Because Monday, We didn't do everything you wanted to do, and so I want to try to squeeze it in now. And actually, in my frame of mind, I was like, there was something Karen wanted to do Monday. I can't think of what it was.
I did?
Yeah.
I don't remember.
And it was Miss Meadows. We didn't get a chance to talk about Miss Meadows.
Ah, Miss Meadows. So and the, yes.
You watched it again, right?
We did. My husband and I both watched it. We loved it the first time. And yeah. Like maybe 8, 9 years ago, whatever. And we loved it. And then we watched it again, and I liked it just as well.
So it's old enough to not worry about spoilers, am I right?
I don't know if it ever is. I mean, sometimes it takes... But you know what? We'll just put a little warning. If you really want to see it, well, don't turn it off. Just don't believe
us. Put your fingers in your ears and hum.
La, 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 la.
So the whole movie... what's her name? Yes. Katie Holmes plays Miss Meadows, and she's a delightful little girl who tap dances down the street and wears tap shoes and says doo-doo. And the whole movie, she talks to her mother on the phone. And then towards the end of the movie, you see a wedding scene, and we see that her mother is actually murdered.
Yes.
So... what is she talking to, a ghost? Is she talking to a stepmother?
You asked if she was hallucinating.
Maybe she was.
Well, you know what? It's funny how my memories of that film, I totally blocked that part out. I didn't, you know, I did not remember that there was that whole dynamic going on operating into this movie. But I loved it. It was brilliant because. Not that I know. We're just analyzing here, which is, of course, so much fun. But I think that it was a self-soothing mechanism that she developed since childhood. I don't think she was hallucinating. I think that she was coherent and in her so-called right mind. But this has the other thing that was self-soothing, which is what young kids do when they've been traumatized, and this was most certainly traumatic, is they do things like tap dance. This becomes a comforting thing for her. When you saw that, it wasn't just that she was tap dancing. What was the meaning of it? Well, it always came up after she had, shall we say, blown someone away who probably deserved
when
it.
When she toodalooed someone,
when she toodalooed. And so... You could see that that was how she comforted herself. Mm-hmm. And I think she knew that her mom died. We didn't know. And that's what was neat. They kept it from us. And then all of a sudden, way towards the end, you go, oh, because the man in her life, who I don't want to give it away, kept saying, what happened to you that you're like this?
Right.
Then we find out. What is... The thing I loved the most was the prim and proper picture of a young lady. She's not only very, very cute and adorable, but it just takes you aback by the contrast of that. And so for all little kind of petite young women who think that they're a victim of the world, this kind of disabused them of that notion.
And you know what? We gave a little spoiler there, but not the big spoiler at the end. So if you want to
we didn't.
And by the way, she's a vigilante. We should probably mention that. She's a vigilante.
She kills people who
deserve it.
This is the prim and proper female version of citizen vigilante.
Exactly right.
A vigilante does not always have to be a former Navy SEAL who can fight hand-to-hand combat. I think that was part of the message, too, is you better watch out who you mess with.
Yeah, absolutely right. And we're out of time, so I guess we'll reserve some time for Monday to actually talk about Citizen Vigilante, because a lot of talk is going on.
And Karen,
we have that soap opera thing going. I love it.
And Karen, can we save that thing that you sent me for next Monday, too? It's that Iranian guy?
Oh, the one I just
that
sent
is
you
so impactful.
In your message machine?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
The message machine?
Yeah, there's all, I mean, in your instant messages.
The message.
Was that the thing I just sent you?
Yeah,
I sent?
Iranian man warns that Sharia law starts with unity between the left and Islam.
Exactly. Talk about a good cliffhanger.
Monday, put it on your calendar after we'll talk about it, okay?
All right.
Thanks, Karen.
Take care.
Toodaloo.
Bye. See you, Karen.
Toodaloo.